this chapter, that Nuh was commanded by God to go to his community and to proclaim to his community several commands, reminding them of their responsibility towards God, towards worshiping God, towards being mindful of God, and of course to obeying him and listening to him as the messenger of God. And we mentioned some of the things that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he mentioned to his community, the message that he mentioned and he relayed to his community. In these verses tonight, verses 5 to 9 of Surah Nuh, we find that Nuh here makes a complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After having delivered the message to the community, he turns to Allah and he complains to Allah about the community's reaction towards his message. So in verse number 5, Allah tells us in the Quran, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. Nuh turned to God and he told him, "Oh my Lord, I have been calling my people day and night." قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا. I have been calling my people, I have been teaching my people day and night. Nuh alayhi salam was relentless in his mission. He did not stop. He continued to teach and to preach and to guide his community. And in fact, the Quran tells us that Nuh would continue teaching and guiding. He would continue in his mission for 950 years. With this particular community. Allah tells us in the Quran in chapter number 29, verse 14, that Nuh remained with his community, with his people, meaning that he was teaching them and guiding them for 950 years. And he would teach them relentlessly. He did not give up. For this entire period, he continued to try to teach them and to guide them. And we find a similar sort of context with our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Where the Prophet, when he was commanded, when he received the divine revelation and he was commanded by Allah to teach his community, the Prophet was also relentless in his mission. Allah tells us in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, Allah says, Taha, of course Taha is the name of another of the names of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Allah says, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to the Prophet. He tells him, Ya Rasulallah, Ya Muhammad, Ya Taha, we did not reveal this Qur'an to you so that you would become distressed. Because the Prophet would overwork himself. The Prophet would turn to people left and right and try to guide them to the truth, to teach them. He tried various means and various ways and non-stop. His mission was non-stop. He was relentless. And he would notice that some people would reject the message. And so this would cause the Prophet distress. He would become distressed, not for his own sake. Not because people were rejecting him personally or bothering him or humiliating him personally, but because he saw that it was his responsibility to guide people to the truth and people were rejecting the truth. And as such, this would cause distress for the Prophet. So Allah tells him, we did not reveal the Quran to you so that you would become distressed. طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى. And so Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he continued to preach and to teach to his community. And what was their reaction to him? Allah tells us in verse number 6, Allah says, فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. Nuh tells Allah, he says, I've constantly been teaching and trying to guide people, but something strange has happened as a result, as a consequence. You would assume that if he would spend 950 years relentlessly trying to guide people and teach them, that this would have a positive impact on them. That they would in fact learn, they would follow, they would listen. But here Nuh, he tells Allah, there is something strange about their reaction. The more that I would teach them, the more that I would persist with them, the more they would reject my message. فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَاءِ إِلَّا فِرَارًا. They would continue in their rejection of the message. Why? Why is it that the community would persist in rejecting Nuh's message, although he did everything in his capacity to try to guide them and teach them? The reason simply is because the foundation for this guidance was missing. You see, for divine guidance to have an effect on our hearts and our minds and to guide us, we have to be ready. There has to be a foundation that is ready for this guidance. If there's no foundation that's ready, then there will be no effect. It's sort of like if we want to plant a seed. If you want to plant a seed, that seed has to be placed in the dirt, in the earth. No matter how much water or sunshine you have, if the dirt itself, the soil itself, is not ready, or the seed itself has a problem with it, you're not going to have positive growth. Something might grow, but it might be a weed, not a plant. Right? In fact, sometimes we find this is the case. The case is that not only is there no effect, sometimes there is an opposite effect. There is an opposite reaction, as this verse shows us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in other places of the Qur'an, such as in chapter number 17, verse 82, Allah says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And through the Qur'an, through the revelation, we instill that which is a cure, shifa, a form of remedy, cure, وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And a form of mercy upon whom? للمؤمنين. For those who are believers. But what do these same verses do for those who are not believers, those who are not ready to believe, those who are not ready to accept? Allah says, وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. These revelations, they do not do anything except for those who reject, except what? Except that they lead to greater perdition and greater loss. It's the same Qur'an. It's not a different Qur'an. It's the same Qur'an. It's the same revelation. It's the same message. With one group of people, it has a positive effect. It brings them nourishment and life and spirituality. With the other group, it brings them loss. Why? Because one group is ready. One heart, one mind is ready to accept the message, is ready to be guided by this message, and the other is not. And thus, there has to be a foundation, even if this foundation is weak, brothers and sisters. It's not expected that we are born completely perfect and, you know, faithful. And no, our lives are a process of growth. We grow in our religiosity. We grow in our spirituality, in our guidance. So we have to be able to understand that there is growth, but we have to start somewhere. So even if the foundation is weak, even if the foundation is weak, this is better than not having a foundation at all, not being ready at all. Even if we have a weak foundation, if we are ready, if we are accepting to change, if we are accepting of transforming ourselves and becoming better people and making positive changes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelations and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's teachings and the Qur'an and the message, the prophetic message, will have a positive effect on us. But there has to be a foundation. And as such, because there was no foundation, because these people, the community of Nuh, had from the beginning shut their doors, and as such, it did not have a positive impact on them. In fact, it had a negative impact on them. And then in verse number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَخْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. Nuh continues complaining to Allah. He says, O my Lord, truly whenever I call them, whenever I would go out and call the people, that you may forgive them. For what? Why was Nuh calling the people? He wasn't calling the people so that they can come and they can contribute to his own well-being, that they can give him money, they can give him satisfaction, that they can be his friends. No. He was calling them so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide them, so that they can accept guidance. And as a result, as I mentioned last night, one of the consequences of accepting guidance is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins. So Nuh says, I was calling them so that you, O my Lord, can forgive them, so that they can find forgiveness. And every time I would call them, they would reject the message. How? جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ. They would place their fingers in their ears. جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ. وَاسْتَخْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ. They would cover themselves with their clothes, with their garments, so that not only would they not hear the message, they would also not see the prophets. جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَخْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا. And they continued to persist and exhibit arrogance in their rejection of the message. The traditions tell us that some fathers, they would have their young sons or their young children, they would take them towards Nuh, and they would, with their children, they would point towards Nuh and they would tell their children, do not listen to this man. They would warn their children, their young children. They would tell them, do not listen to this man. Don't pay attention to him. If you hear him talking, make sure that you close your ears. Make sure that you turn away. Make sure that you avoid his message. And as such, this rejection of the message of Nuh continued for several generations. Fathers would teach their sons, and then those children would teach their own children, and so on and so forth. They would persist. Here the Quran is saying that they would persist in their rejection of their message, of the message. And we find that the same happened during the time of the Holy Prophet himself. The same happened. In the Quran, in chapter 41, verse 26, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example during the time of the Prophet of people who would reject the message of the Prophet. Allah says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Those who disbelieve, they would go out and they would tell the people, do not listen to this Quran. Don't listen to this recitation by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. Not only should you not listen to this Quran, also you should begin to make excessive noise, start to shout and make noises so that you can drown out the recitation of this revelation of the Quran. Just like those during the time of Nuh. They would close their ears, they would hide themselves, and they would actively tell their children, don't listen. During the time of the Prophet, there were people who not only rejected, but when they would see that the Prophet is reciting the revelation, they would surround him and they would begin to make loud noises, excessive noises, so that no one else can hear the revelations. This happened during the time of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. It happened during the time of the Imams as well. Traditions tell us that even with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he would stand up before the Umayyad army and he would want to teach them and guide them and remind them, that some of them, they would get up and they would make excessive noises so that the voice and sound of Imam Hussein would not reach the masses. And today, these distractions, they continue today. We find many means, many ways, many voices of distractions that call us away from the Quran, that attempt to distract us, deviate us away from turning towards the Quran, reading the Quran, listening to the Quran, benefiting from the Quran, thinking about the Quran, various things. Many times we find that some people would rather prefer to listen to other things rather than listening to the Quran. Various types of entertainment, various types of music. We'd rather spend time listening to these things rather than the Word of God. And these are distractions. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. When we see advertisements advertising certain types of entertainment or music, it's the same. It is just like during the time of the Prophet or during the time of Prophet Nuh, when the message would be called out, but there would be a group of people who would actively try to suppress this message. It's the same thing. It's different means. But these are still forms of distractions. And thus we have to be aware, brothers and sisters. We have to be aware of the distractions that pull us away, especially from learning, especially from guidance. This is why often when I speak to my brothers and sisters, and especially my younger brothers and sisters, I tell them, when you want to spend time with the Quran, you want to recite the Quran, make sure that you recite the Quran with a hard copy, a physical copy of the Quran, not on your smartphones. It's great that there are many apps that have, you know, wonderful Quran recitation apps, and you can recite with them and they help you and they have the... But the problem is when we use these devices, we are easily distracted. You open the Quran and you want to recite the Quran on your phone, suddenly the notifications, they come in. And we become curious, right? If we get a notification that someone has liked my recent post, I want to immediately see who's liked my post, who's commented. And so we get distracted, and we see this. In reality, we really see this impact us. The way that we live our lives, we are very much easily distracted with our smartphones, with our technology, with our social media. That many times our attention span has also come down, it's decreased. We no longer have a longer attention span or the patience to listen to, you know, a longer lecture, or sometimes in class, I find this myself, I find in class that many students after, you know, 15, 20 minutes, suddenly they pull out their phones or their laptops and, you know, they get distracted. So it's important for us to think about what are the things that are distracting us. What are the various means and modes of distraction away from learning, away from gaining insight, away from especially our connection with the Holy Quran and God's message. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verses 8 and 9, Nuh says, ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. He continues this complaint to Allah. ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. Then I called them openly. Nuh tells Allah, he says, I called them day and night. And I continued, I persisted, and I tried various ways. Then I began to call them openly. When I saw their reaction, I would go out into public and began to call people publicly to God's message. ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا. And then he says, ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا. And then I began to proclaim to them publicly. And sometimes I began to call them in secret, privately. Nuh alayhi salam tried various means. When he would see people out in public, he would go out and he would call them in public. He would teach them in public. Sometimes he would find people and he might take them to the side and speak to them privately. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us how Nuh alayhi salam tried different ways, tried different methods. And he never gave up. He continued to try different means in order to guide others, in order to teach others. And there's a great lesson in this, brothers and sisters. There's a great lesson for all of us. Despite the Prophet, him, Prophet Nuh, being a prophet, a messenger of Allah, yet we find in these verses a powerful message for us in our various capacities. Sometimes as parents, we know that our responsibility is to guide our children, to teach them. We are their first teachers and educators. Sometimes some of us may actually be teachers at schools in various capacities. Sometimes as community members, you know, others look up to us. We are educators, maybe not by what we say, but by how we act and what we do. And so in this, there is a great lesson for us, that we should never give up in trying to teach people, in trying to guide people. Sometimes some people, they do their part, they try their best, but they may easily give up. When they see someone reject, turn away, they may give up. They may say, you know what, khalas, I've reached the extreme of my patience, my limit, and I no longer can tolerate, and so I will let this person go their way. They give up sooner or later. Or maybe they stick to one method and they find that this method doesn't work and they give up. Here Nuh is giving us a great lesson, telling us never give up, continue, even if it takes you 950 years. Continue to teach, continue to guide, and do so in various ways. If you find that this specific manner is not working, try a different means, try a different way. And do not give up. But unfortunately, in the case of Prophet Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that despite him trying in various ways, some people still rejected his message. There was his attempts were to no avail. Why? Again, why? We go back to verse number 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 7 tells us why. In verse 7, Allah tells us that after, you know, Nuh saying that I tried to call them, they would put their fingers in their ears, they would cover their heads, and they would persist and wastakbaru istikbara. And they were persistent in their arrogance. It was because of this act of arrogance that they rejected the call of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Arrogance, ego, Dr. Amit spoke about a little bit earlier. This most dangerous, really disease of being arrogant and closing off oneself to the truth. Assuming that one is superior, that one has arrived at a level where one does not benefit from anyone else. I am superior to you, I am better than you, because perhaps my education, my job, my family, the amount of money that I've made, the place that I live in, my country of origin, whatever it may be. Sometimes we express arrogance, superiority, and this arrogance, it causes us to be closed off, the verses Dr. Amit showed us, closed off to the truth. Closed off. We become blind. We become deaf and dumb. We are not able to appreciate guidance. We are not able to appreciate the revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the reason why Iblis was expelled from the gardens was because of his arrogance. Allah tells us in verse 13 of chapter 7, قَالَ فَهْدَطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Iblis. He told him, I am expelling you, leave the paradise, because in this place, in this paradise, there is no room for arrogance. And the ahadith, they tell us that the one who holds arrogance in his or her heart, exhibits arrogance, that this person will not experience the paradise. Arrogance. Because like I said, it blinds us to the truth. Our fifth imam, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says, مَا دَخَلَ قَلْبَ مْرِئٍ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْكِبَرِ إِلَّا نَقَصَ مِنْ عَقْلِهِ مِثْلُ مَا دَخَلَهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He says, every time arrogance enters into the mind or heart of a being, With every increase in arrogance, there is a decrease in reason and ability to understand and recognize. It's a balance. The more arrogance, the less ability to understand, the less ability to absorb divine guidance. It's a balance. And so we have to be very careful when it comes with arrogance. It truly blocks us off from realizing the truth. I'll end with this story that I heard once about a young preacher. He had his community, and he would often stand before the community and preach and teach. And he enjoyed receiving, encouragement. He enjoyed it. The community members would often come after his lecture. They would, encourage him. They would commend him. They would tell him that he did a great job, a fantastic job. And he enjoyed it. And it sort of got to his head. So one day, he was giving his sermon. After he finished his sermon, the people, they came and they praised him. But one particular man, he came to him and he told him, "You know what? Today's speech was fantastic. And I think that you are the smartest person on earth. I think that you are even smarter than Einstein." And he left. So this preacher, he went home. He was feeling very happy that day. Smarter than Einstein? He was feeling very happy, but he sat down. He was a little confused. He was thinking, what did I say? What did I do that allowed this person to come and specifically tell me that I'm smarter than Einstein? So he waited a few days until the next time he was back and he saw this man, and he told him, he said, "You know what? I really appreciate your encouragement, and you called me smarter than Einstein, but I'd like to know why. Can you tell me why?" So the man told him, "Yeah, because Einstein was very smart. He was very intelligent. In fact, he was so intelligent that we're told that only about 10 people in the world understood him. But you're so smart that no one understands you." Arrogance blocks us off from seeing the truth. It gives us a false sense of state. We falsely assume that we are somewhere that we are not at. And this is why our traditions, they emphasize on humility, on stamping out arrogance, on not allowing arrogance to take over our hearts and our minds, that we are always humble. And this is one of the benefits of fasting. One of the benefits of fasting during the month of Ramadan is that it humbles us. No matter how strong you are, no matter how rich you are, how famous you are, it doesn't matter who you are, what kind of lifestyle you live, no matter how educated you are, when you're fasting, you feel the weakness of the hunger and thirst. You feel the weakness. And so as a result, you feel, and you are reminded of how weak we can be, how feeble we are as human beings. That a few hours of not eating and drinking makes us fatigued. By the end of the day, we're not able to properly function. In the mornings, if we haven't had our coffee, we can't function properly. It humbles us. It reminds us of our origins. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these blessed days and nights to give us the capacity, first of all, to give us the capacity and to open our hearts and minds to His revelation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to learn and to be inspired from the Qur'an and from the teachings of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins, our shortcomings, to accept our prayers and fasting, to give us strength of iman and faith, and to allow us to be humble in our lives, in our interactions with others. Finally, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow a full and speedy recovery upon those who are ill and sick. Many people in our community and other places have asked us to pray for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them recovery very soon. And finally, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those who have passed away. Wa ila arwah al mu'minin wal mu'minat nuhdi jami'an thawab surah al fatiha ma'a as-salat ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.